The state Senate finished up its session yesterday, and one recurring theme in this meeting of the legislature has been the issue of gun control, of local control, rather. Earlier this year, a Democratic state lawmaker asked the Legislative Fiscal Bureau for a list of bills that overrode local governments or created unfunded mandates for them. The Bureau found 99 of those laws since 2011, with another 21 more in the works at the time.
That added to ongoing criticism of the legislature and of the governor on the local control issue. Democrats and some local officials say the state is overstepping its authority. But the sponsors of individual pieces of legislation say the state needs to step in so citizens and businesses don't have to navigate a confusing patchwork of local laws.
One of the latest bills just passed by the Senate would make it impossible for local governments to ban plastic bags at stores. Other laws over the last few years affect local government authority on shoreline protection, landlord-tenant relations, cell phone tower placement, and more.
Eric Giordano joins us now. He's an associate professor of political science and director of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service at UW-Marathon County. Eric, welcome to the show.
Hey, glad to be here.
Also with us is Jerry Duchesne. He is executive director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. Jerry, thanks for joining us today.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Well, Eric, let's start with you. Is there any agreed notion of what the division of labor should be between state and local governments?
Not really. This has been an ongoing issue for really a long time. I mean, it was an ongoing issue in the 1920s when they finally decided in Wisconsin to ratify an amendment to the Constitution providing that cities and villages could, you know, have this determine their local affairs. But there was this clause in there that also said that basically, unless there were matters that were of statewide concern, and that, I think that's been the tipping issue the whole, you know, since that time. How much is it the prerogative of local control and local governments to have control, and how much is the prerogative of the state? The Supreme Court has consistently sided with the state on legal matters, but I think there's always been a balance, and I think maybe the question is whether the balance is shifting now.
And we'll get into that, but Jerry, I wanted to ask you, the current government is and has been led by Republicans for some years now, but have you seen these conflicts with Democratic governors and lawmakers in the past?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, Eric is right, only I'd go back further than the 1920s. This has been a battle since the creation of statehood. Our lobbyists described it this way. When they passed the Home Rule Amendment in 1924, and the Home Rule Amendment essentially gave all authority to local governments unless the legislature wanted to take it back. So they gave us all the authority in 1924, and they've been taking back bits and pieces ever since.
That said, Jerry, though, do you think this last few years we've been seeing more of this than usual, more preemption of local control by the state government?
I have not seen statistics that would bear that out. I did see the memo that listed the 99, you know, various intrusions on home rule. But what I didn't see is what's the memo that goes back 10 years before that, 10 years before that. I think it's a recurring theme, and I think we always have to remind the legislature that it's generally held wisdom that the government that functions best is the one closest to the people. I don't think that's a partisan issue. I just think different pressures are brought to bear against legislators, and our job is to keep reminding them that, hey, these guys at the local level know what they're doing.
Eric, this has become a partisan issue to some extent. Republicans have been criticized by their partisan opponents for at the national level favoring more state control, but at the state level, at least in the last 4 or 5 years, overriding local control on key issues. Is there something to that?
Well, I think there's definitely a reason why there's some criticism, and I think you've kind of put your finger on it. The GOP has kind of staked a reputation for many years on local control, but let's also face it, the Constitution itself, the U.S. Constitution, has always, you know, favored states' rights, and there really isn't any mention of local rights in the Constitution. There's rights of people, there's rights of states, and so, you know, we're back to the issue that the state, that Jerry mentioned, that the state really has the ability to do whatever it really wants to do when it deems that in the matter of state concern. But I think the issue is some people feel like there might be a double standard. You know, why are we supporting local control in a federal-state context but not in a state local context.
Talking to Jerry DeShane with the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Eric Giordano from UW-Marathon County. He's a political scientist there, talking about local control versus state control on a wide variety of government issues. It's been raised lately as an issue, a lot of laws overriding local control. And Jerry, when we look at individual laws, you know, the cell phone tower placement, new plastic bag law that the Senate just passed, supporters of these kind of practices where they override local control say, look, citizens and employers shouldn't have to deal with a patchwork of local ordinances. Overriding them actually makes life easier for us, helps the business climate here. Is there something to that?
Well, I think there's an argument that can be made for that, but I think, and taking cell towers is probably the best example. Who is the best decision maker of where a cell tower ought to be located? Should that be done in Madison at the state capitol, or should that be done at the local level, where you can actually see what the impact of the placement is? It's a balance, and I think the founding fathers and mothers of the state intended it to be a balance. It just, in order to reach that balance, there has to be conflict. I would say this. I think the state legislature is a convenient one-stop shop sometimes for big business, and generally that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about small businesses asking for this. It's big businesses that, if I can get the problem addressed once at the state level, then I don't have to deal with it city by city by city.
Eric, sorry, Jerry, go ahead and finish up.
No, this is Eric. I was going to say, I think Jerry's right. That's one thing that I think gets lost. I don't think it's been any secret that the GOP and the Walker administration have been very open about trying to make Wisconsin a more business-friendly state. I think what's sometimes lost in the rhetoric is that the businesses that are being favored by and large by this type of legislation really are big business. It's not really the small businesses that are benefiting from this as much.
And I wanted to ask, we just heard in the news a little while ago about gun control legislation in the court. The state law sometime back had overridden local gun measures. The argument there is that's not a business issue, but for a citizen who's legally carrying a firearm, do they have to suddenly obey a different set of laws when they're driving from one municipality into another? Jerry, do you see that as maybe a case where a citizen's rights are better enforced, better protected at the state level?
No. I think because local government is accessible and accountable, let me put it to you this way. It's a whole lot easier to throw out a city council member than to throw out a state legislator. So by and large, I would say the government closest to the people is the one that's most accountable to them. And I think if you look at most of Gallup's polling numbers on government, the most trusted level of government is local government. So I don't think the case has been proved that the state knows best in just about any issue you're talking about.
And Eric, Jerry's saying that the local level is the most trusted level of government, but it's very, I think, often invisible to people, isn't it? Do we get out and vote? Do we pay close attention to what our local elected officials are doing? Maybe the state government level is a higher profile place to sort out these important issues.
Well, it certainly is a higher profile in many ways, and I would argue that the voting turnout statistics bear that out. You know, it's decreasing as you get down more to the local level, but, you know, still the question is on our shoulders as citizens if we care about local issues. If, as Jerry put it, we can either put in or put out the local city council person or the county board member, then, you know, it's our responsibility to do that. And so perhaps, you know, ultimately we have to point the finger to ourselves if we don't like the fact that legislation is starting to favor the state over local government. I think people can do something about that if they choose.
Jerry, I wanted to ask about kind of constituencies here. If I'm a big business group and I want a state law to override local governments, then I have contact with the legislators maybe. If I'm a advocacy group for, say, a gun-related organization, I can lobby the government. How do you, as an association of local governments, try to argue for your local control?
I think using a lot of the same techniques, and quite frankly, the other thing is we ask our local mayors and village board members to talk to their legislators, and perhaps even more importantly, to invite them to their local city council meetings. We've been doing that more and more lately, and I think you'll see even more of that. Because another part of this is building a communications relationship between the two layers of government. We are always going to have this tension. And, you know, there's no ultimate solution, but more communication, better communication, being able to recognize one another when you see them on the street can only help.
We're talking about local control versus state control in Wisconsin government. After accusations that the governor and legislature have been overriding local government authority over the last few years, our guests are Jerry Duchesne with the League of Wisconsin Municipalities and political scientist Eric Giordano from UW-Marathon County.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. When should the local government be in charge and when should the state set standards that apply everywhere? Do you think you see balance tipping too far in one direction or the other? And do you think maintaining local control should be a priority? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We continue our conversation about local government control in Wisconsin and concerns that the state legislature may be overriding the authority of city, town, and county governments. Our guests are Eric Giordano from UW-Marathon County and Jerry Duchesne with the League of Wisconsin Municipalities.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Where should the balance be? Are you worried that the state has done too much to restrict local governments, or do you think statewide laws usually make more sense than a patchwork of local regulations? Are there particular issues that you think should go one way or the other? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Jerry, you've been watching this for a while, obviously, this issue of local control. Do you think this is something that kind of comes and goes like a pendulum, or is it just sort of ad hoc, one bill here, one bill there?
I think it's more ad hoc, one bill here, one bill there. What we typically see is a legislator or an interest group will see a local government do something or threaten to do something, and they'll react. They'll say, "Whoa, wait a minute, you ought not be able to do that." If you remember back a few years when New York City banned those great big drinks, you couldn't buy the big drinks anymore at your local fast food. Well, Wisconsin, a legislator decided we shouldn't do that in Wisconsin. So we have a ban on big gulps here in Wisconsin. So that's where you see a lot of it.
A ban on big gulps, right?
Correct, yes. Excuse me. It's hard to do this double negative.
Right.
You know, and the same thing with the whole Christmas tree thing that passed yesterday. Legislators, this was a bipartisan vote, I should point out. Legislators decided that fire chiefs should not be able to ban live Christmas trees in churches in Wisconsin. So you get these bans on bans.
And Eric, I wanted to ask, is this a Wisconsin issue? Or are we seeing these battles being fought in states around the country?
Oh, goodness. This is happening all over the country. I mean, I think, in fact, this has been headline news in a lot of states. In Alabama, I was reminded of in Birmingham, they had wanted to pass specific laws around registering people to vote and around voter ID, and the state legislature came down with a law basically saying, you know, we couldn't, or Birmingham couldn't issue its own IDs that would allow voters to register and vote. So this is just one example, but this is really happening all over the country. And I think Jerry's right, this tension is, you know, it's certainly not limited to this era. It's been around for a long time. I was talking with the local village administrator recently, and he was reminding me, he said, you know, I have worked very well with my local Republican legislator, and they've been able to pass legislation that have created TIF districts just for my community, and that's been a huge benefit. Now, on the other hand, we wanted to pass a landlord law to sort of prevent properties from going downhill, and, you know, there was a ban on that, and I wasn't happy with that. So even within villages and municipalities, there's tension about, you know, the positives and negatives of this type of home rule versus state rule.
Well, and that's, if I can follow up on what Eric said, when the Wisconsin legislature was debating overriding local regulations on services like Uber and Lyft, I had major cities on both sides of that bill. I had the city of Madison deeply opposed to limitations on local regulations, and at the same time, the city of Racine saw they wanted to encourage more Uber and Lyft. So it's hard to paint a black and white picture sometimes, because there are quite a few shades of gray.
Well, but the idea here being that if the state passes a one-size-fits-all law, I guess neither Madison nor Racine gets to pick their path. The state picks it for them, in a way, would be the objection.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why, you know, representing local government, my job is to push back as often as hard as possible for local control. But
I think also, especially in times of economic distress, when communities are already, you know, trying to make their way and attract young people, retain young people, create jobs, et cetera, you know, I think every community wants the ability to sort of define themselves, say, here's who we are, here's what's going to be our identifying mark in Wisconsin. And it's tougher for communities to do that if there are laws that prevent them from separating themselves and identifying themselves in a particular way.
Let's bring in our callers now at 800-642-1234. Joan is on the line with us in Eau Claire. Joan, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I couldn't agree with your guest more. This is a direct result of the Tea Party legislators imposing control into the local communities of Wisconsin and many other states, unfortunately.
Joan, thanks for the call. Eric, do you think that there's something to be said for that? A Tea Party movement being part of a statewide effort to impose different laws on local governments?
Well, I'm not sure I completely agree. I definitely think there has been influence from the Tea Party on, you know, obviously elections and who's getting into power. And clearly there has been an agenda to pave the way for a more pro-business environment in Wisconsin. So if that is sort of the chain, I guess I could agree with that. I just think that it's not always that clear. I think Jerry said this earlier, but, you know, although there certainly, I think 99 bills passing in, you know, since 2011 is definitely a trend. But even before that, I think if you talk with local leaders, they recognize that Democrats sometimes took away local control as well. So I'm not quite sure it's quite as strong as maybe I would agree or disagree slightly with the caller.
Talking state versus local control of governments, that's Eric Giordano there, UW Marathon County political scientist. Jerry DeShane also with us, executive director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. Back to our callers now with Phyllis in Clark County. Phyllis, hi.
Hi. My question is this. State government has capped our property taxes. If they've taken away our ability to tax, haven't they taken away all of our powers?
Phyllis, thanks for that call. And this is one that affects schools. Jerry, I think that was you laughing. What do you have to say?
Phyllis hit the biggest nail squarely on the head. That is one area where the state, and they did this long, long ago, has passed the ultimate control, which is they control not only the level of property tax increases, but they also control all revenue sources that a local government can use. And that's fundamentally a major problem. You know, in Wisconsin, we're pretty much, we are the property tax for local government, and that's it. And that, frankly, it's not sustainable long term.
Yes, and I'm hearing the same thing. I was talking with the county executive recently, and he was mentioning that, you know, in his opinion, too much money isn't necessarily a good thing. You need some tension. You need a little pressure in order to make sure that you're not being wasteful. But he said, we've pulled all the rabbits out of the hat that we can possibly pull. There's nothing left to cut. And at this rate, they're going to have to face some serious trade-offs at the local level between services. And what he pointed out to me is that it's never the state legislators that get the blame. It's the local legislators. Well, why are you cutting this versus that? Well, they're cutting because they don't have the tax authority to raise the revenues that they need for all the services that the citizens want.
Jerry, briefly, magic wand, is that the one thing you might change about the balance of power, state and local government? More flexibility for raising money at the local level?
That would, as Phyllis explained, that would make the most difference, absolutely. They can have plastic bags.
All right, we'll leave it there. Jerry, thanks a lot for being with us today.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And Eric, thanks to you as well.
Yes, my pleasure.
We've been talking about local versus state control, a state overriding local government authority. We've had Jerry DeShane with us. He's executive director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities and the Urban Alliance. And Eric Giordano. He's associate professor of political science and director of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service at UW-Marathon County. Still room for you to share your thoughts, by the way. Go over to the Central Time Facebook page and join the conversation there.